says here in the scripture that some people have beautiful feet. Scholars estimate that Paul traveled, listen to this, scholars estimate that Paul traveled 10,000 to 15,000 miles on his missionary journeys. That's a lot of walking. Most of it walking and in sandals. So I can imagine what Paul's feet looked like. Pretty dirty on those Roman dusty roads. Beat up, cut up, calloused. Can you imagine the calluses on Paul's feet walking 10 to 15,000 miles? He must have had the ugliest feet going. But obviously in our passage, it's not talking about how feet look that make them beautiful. It's what they're doing. Delivering the most important, beautiful message of all time. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor Mike Hurd.
Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Real quickly, Paul gives us instructions, basic instructions on how to spread the gospel, on how the gospel spreads throughout the world. So let's read. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Father, thank you for this time. Reign on it, Lord. Reign in it. Teach us from your word. Challenge us. Change us. For your glory and your glory alone, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Isn't it awesome just to come on Sunday and just worship and gather as the family of God? Nothing better. So you'll see in our passage this morning, Paul says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet. And so I Googled, what is the ugliest part of the human body? And it says feet and toes was the number one answer. Honestly, there's only a few people that I can think of that have, that I would actually dare to say they have cute feet. That would be my wife. Little kids, our grandchildren, and for some reason I thought of the Flintstones. But Fred doesn't count, because if you look closely, the Flintstones only have three toes. So they don't have real feet, and I don't know how he did that. He was always driving that car with his feet, and his feet always looked perfect and good, so I don't know how he did that. But yeah, so Paul says here in the scripture that some people have beautiful feet. Scholars estimate that Paul traveled, listen to this, scholars estimate that Paul traveled 10,000 to 15,000 miles on his missionary journeys. That's a lot of walking. Most of it walking and in sandals. So I can imagine what Paul's feet looked like. Pretty dirty on those Roman dusty roads. Beat up. Cut up, calloused. Can you imagine the calluses on Paul's feet walking 10 to 15,000 miles? He must have had the ugliest feet going. But obviously in our passage, it's not talking about how feet look that make them beautiful. It's what they're doing. Delivering the most important, beautiful message of all time. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So this morning, we're going to look at this passage. And we know that the gospel is truly the best news ever. Who here wants beautiful feet? That's not enough. In this way. I know there's no hope for your feet at this point, but if we could just get a hold of how beautiful the feet are of those who spread the good news. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Gospel for Real Life, we're going through that on Wednesday night, and there's some individual studies that are going on right now, walking through the gospel for real life. Jerry uses this passage, and a lot of what I'm going to be preaching today is based on the work of Jerry Bridges. He says, note the four verbs in this passage. As it is written, how beautiful is the other one up there? Where's Brandon? I think we lost him. Notice if you look in your scripture, look at the four verbs in that passage: call, believe, hear, and preach. And so what Jerry Bridges does in his book, in The Gospel for Real Life, is he reverses the order of those to give us some instruction on how the gospel goes out, how the gospel is spread. And so first and foremost, it starts with preaching. If you look at your notes in your bulletin, there's a handout in your bulletin if you wanted to take some notes. We're going to walk right through this Romans passage. The first thing that has to happen is there has to be preaching in the first step of receiving the gospel. Look at verse 15. It says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? That word preach means to herald, to proclaim, to cry out. So the first thing, the first step that has to take place with the gospel for it to spread is it has to be preached. And so we see a beautiful pattern of this in the early church in the book of Acts. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapters 2, 3, and 4 a little bit, but I want you to keep your finger in Romans chapter 10. We're going to keep going back to that. We're going to see how this pattern is played out in the early church and how it should be played out today in the contemporary church. Look at Acts chapter 2. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 910. In Acts chapter 2, we know the scene. Let me just set the scene a little bit, right? Jesus tells them to go to Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem, wait for the power from on high, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They start speaking in tongues, and a whole crowd. It's Pentecost, and so the place is crowded. People from all over the globe are there for this high holy day, Pentecost. And so they start, all these people are now gathered around the apostles. I want you to picture this. All these people are gathered around them. And look at verse 14 in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 14. What is the first thing Peter does? But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He preaches. He has this huge crowd around him, and he preaches. He understands that this gospel needs to be heralded. It needs to be proclaimed. In Acts chapter 3, a different scene, God performs this incredible miracle on this man who was lame from birth. He's healed. So a big crowd gathers around. They're astounded at what just took place. And Peter seizes the opportunity to do the first thing to spread the gospel. He preaches. Look at Acts 3, verse 11. The man who just got healed, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Peter preached. He took this opportunity, like in Acts chapter 2, to preach. And I love Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4 with me. Because I love this. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are taken into custody by the Jewish leaders, and they're warned by the Jewish leaders. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 17 and following with me. It says this. The Pharisees are talking to one another, and they say this to one another, but in order that it may spread no further, talking about the gospel among the people, let us warn them not to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. The Jewish leaders understood if you stop the preaching, you stop the gospel. That should hit home. If you stop preaching, you stop the gospel. And oh, if we could just gain the heart of Peter and John. Look at verse 19 in Acts chapter 4. I love Peter and John's response. Peter and John answered them, these Jewish leaders, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak. In the NASB, it means we cannot stop speaking about this. You can try and stop us, but we understand that for people, for this gospel to spread, the first step is it has to be preached. And so even the Jewish leaders understood that if you stop the preaching, you stop the good news, you stop the spreading of the gospel. And so the first thing we have to do as a church, if we want to spread this good news, is we want to preach. We want to proclaim it. We want to herald it. Look at the next on your handout. After preaching comes the hearing. Look at verse 14 in Romans chapter 10. How are they going to hear without someone preaching? And so the next part of this proclamation of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel, is the hearing. First preached, and then hearing. And that hearing in the original language means to give audience to listen to. So now going back to Peter here preaching in Acts chapter 2, listen to the people's response. As he's preaching, listen to their response in Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. In Acts chapter 4, when he was preaching, it says, but many of those who heard the word, they heard it. When preaching takes place, there are those who hear. Right? But if there's no preaching, there's no hearing. And so, what sometimes as believers, we come to Christ, we hear this good news, and I was talking to a young believer last week, actually after service, and she was so excited about her new faith in Christ, and she's so thrilled. And you ever have that when all of a sudden this gospel makes sense to you, and all of a sudden it's, I got to tell the world, I got to tell everybody, this makes sense, this is common sense. And she was telling me how she told one of her friends, and her friend looked at her like, what are you talking about? And so it's important for us to understand as believers, Jesus said this 15 times in Scripture. He says this 15 times or something similar to it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so what Jesus was pointing out is not everyone that hears the preaching actually hears the message. And it's important to remind ourselves of that, that not everybody who hears is going to hear. And God constantly in Scripture reminds us of this truth. Listen to what Zechariah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, God calls Zechariah to warn the people of Israel of an impending judgment. And listen to what is told to Zechariah in Zechariah 7:11. About the people of Israel. It says, but they refused to pay attention, and they turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they may not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard lest they should hear. the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by the Holy Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. Why? Verse 13, as I called, they would not hear. And so there's always going to be those, we have to understand. I know when I first got saved, like, I just wanted to tell everybody in the world about this good news. Anybody else? And then you start telling people, and they're looking at you like, you became a Jesus freak? You're one of those? And I was, you're crushed. You're like, this makes too much sense to me. But we have to understand that as we preach, this is an encouragement to us, that as we preach, there's going to be some that don't hear. But that shouldn't stop us. And that's what it did for me for a long time. That's my confession this morning. Remember when you were a kid playing with your friends? And you were outside and all of a sudden your mom or dad, my dad used to have that whistle. And you could hear it all over the town. And or they would call out and say, hey, it's time for dinner, come on home. Come on home. And you remember you're playing with your friends and you're like, I don't want to go home. And so you heard it, but you didn't hear it. And so there are going to be some like that when we proclaim this good news. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this incredible vision of the throne room of God. God gives Isaiah this incredible vision, and then he records this for us so that we could have it. And he sees these angels and these cherubim, and they're worshiping God on his holy throne. And Isaiah has this response. He says, man, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And God does something beautiful. He takes a coal, he touches Isaiah's lips, and he purifies him. And it says this in Isaiah chapter 6, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. Right? The same thing that we have in Jesus Christ, God does for Isaiah. And so the Godhead is in heaven, and they're saying, well, who can we send? Who will go for us? And so Isaiah, who just had his sins atoned for, says what? Here am I, Lord. Send me. I want to go. I want to tell the world. Just like when we first got saved, he had that excitement. And I can picture Isaiah being all excited and saying, all right, Lord, all right, Lord, I'm in. Send me, send me. But then God tells Isaiah something very, very important. He says, Isaiah, you know what? I'm going to send you. And they're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. And I can imagine Isaiah all excited, and God says they're not going to listen and just say, oh, like we are when people don't listen. But the amazing part of the story is Isaiah goes, and if you read the prophet Isaiah, he goes and he tells the nation, because you know why? Because Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, and he understood the forgiveness that he received, and he went anyway. What a call. It's interesting. Think about this. I want you to know this. So in this passage in Isaiah chapter 6, right, God tells Isaiah that they're not going to listen. And you know what's crazy is Jesus uses this same reference in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John about the gospel. He tells his apostles that, hey, you're going to go, and there's going to be some that don't listen. But don't let that discourage you. Keep going. Paul uses the same passage in Acts 28 about the people as he's going out with the message. There's going to be some that don't hear. There's always going to be people who hear but don't hear. But here's the good news. All right, let's get past that. There's always going to be people who hear. Isaiah is told in Isaiah chapter 6, there's a remnant, Isaiah, there's a remnant. Go, find them, tell them. There's a remnant that's going to hear and they're going to listen. Which leads me to my next point. There's always going to be those who hear and believe. That's our third point this morning, believe. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14b, it says, "And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard?" They have to hear to believe. That word believe in the original language means to have faith, to believe, to commit, to trust in. Listen to John, in the Gospel of John in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 12. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the sons of God." When we preach, there's going to be some that hear, and then there's going to be some that receive or believe. The beauty of the gospel. So we see in our gospel accounts, in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, Peter preaches, people hear, and then in Acts chapter 2, "So those who received his word gladly received it." And in Acts chapter 4, "But many of those who had heard the word believed." There's going to be some that listen, hear the gospel, and you change their lives, guys. You change their lives for all of eternity. Do you believe that? I love what it says in Acts 2:37 in this account. Do me a favor, turn to Acts 2:37. Because there's one more step. There's the preaching, there's the hearing, there's the believing, and then there's one more step in this spreading of the gospel according to Romans chapter 10. Is everybody in Acts 2:37? Look at this. "Now when they heard," right, Peter's preaching. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" And so they heard it. They understood it. They're cut to the heart. They understand they're sinners. And they're like, okay, is there another step? What should we do? Right? They understood the gospel. They understood that they were sinners. They understood that they needed more. And that's my last point, and that's to call on the name of the Lord. It's just not a head knowledge. There's a mental assent, there's an understanding that you know this to be true, but there's a next step, and it's calling on the name of the Lord. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? There must be that calling. Jerry Bridges puts it this way, calls is the last step. He calls it embracing Jesus, trusting in him alone for our salvation. There's an incredible difference between knowing something in your head and experiencing in your heart. You believe that? There's a phrase out there, the longest journey is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. The gap between intellectual understanding and true emotional or spiritual belief. I love what A.W. Tozer said. A.W. Tozer said, "Genuine Christian experience must always include an encounter with God. It's just not a mental assent. It's a belief. It's a leaning on." Look at Acts 2:37 one more time. Acts 2:37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" The last step is call, and Peter tells them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's that last step of calling on the name of the Lord. There's that repentance. It's not a head knowledge. It has to go from here to here, where you understand fully that you need Jesus Christ, that you need to lean on him and him alone. We see Peter preached, and they heard. They heard, and they were believed. And then they called upon the name of the Lord. They repented, and they were baptized. In fact, in both of our accounts, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 come to faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, 5,000 come to faith in Christ. So there are some that are going to hear, amen? That's good news. Let me share a little bit of my story. I was born and raised, I'm going to bore you now with my story. Born and raised in the church. Went to church every Sunday. In fact, when I got older, I'd get up early and I'd go without my mom and dad and I'd just go myself. Altar boy, the whole nine yards. I believed in God. I believed that he was real. And if you asked me, I would have said, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. I would have said he rose again. And I would have said he did it for me. And I thought that I was right. But then somebody entered my life, my cousin John, and he had beautiful feet. Most beautiful feet I can think of. Better than my wife's. And he preached. And when the first time he preached, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up and I said, Johnny, shut up. I don't need to hear this man. And he preached. And he preached. And he preached. And then I heard it. I heard it for the first time. I had heard it so many times, but then I heard it for the first time. And it went from here to here. It traveled the 18 inches. I believed it. I believed it with all my heart. But that wasn't enough. I can remember my wife and I lived in a condo, 312 Sawmill Road, Brick, New Jersey. Used to teach that song to our kids. 312, I'm sorry. I'm on all fours in my bedroom. And like, Lord, I get it. Whew. You did it for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a mess. I know I've been trusting myself all my life and my good works, and I knew you, Jesus, but Lord, I repent of all that. And I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I had an encounter with God. And since that day, I've had an encounter with God my whole life. Since that day, that's what he does. I trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Right? There's that next step. It's not a mental ascent. That has to be in your heart. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, listen to this. It says, if you confess with your mouth, there's that calling, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses, calls, and is saved. What a message. What a glorious gospel that we have. We should be, every Sunday we should come here to celebrate. You mean, Lord, you saved me? Whew. I can't wait to get to church on Sunday and just worship you. You did that for me? And so, we have this prescription for the gospel. I'm going to ask it again, and I want to see more hands because I'm going to be upset if I don't. Who here wants beautiful feet? Man, come on. I texted my cousin this week, and I told my cousin John, I said, Johnny, I am eternally, eternally grateful for what you did in my life. And he said, Mike, it wasn't me. But we need to preach so then those that can hear, so that they believe, and then challenge them to call, to take that step of action, to go from here to here. I'm going to ask this. If you're here this morning, like me, 20, 30, wow, my son is 37. 38 years ago, if you're here and you knew, if you know about God, but you never really bowed your knee, and right now you understand you're a sinner, you understand that you do not know where you're going to spend eternity, can you do me a favor right now? Can you call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, I get it, I understand it, I need you. You died in my place. And then if you're here and you know Christ, be challenged, pray. I know it's not easy. Been out there. We were talking about it Wednesday night. Sometimes you go out there and your insides are all jittery and you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and you can't find the words. Tell them anyway. Mark Cahill in one of his books says, you can't get him any more unsaved. So tell them anyway. So my challenge to you this morning is love the gospel, share the gospel, and walk in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. You're a good, good God, a good, good Father. We thank you for this truth, Lord. We thank you for those, I'm sure everyone here has a story. We thank you for those people that had the courage to preach. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that gave us the ability to hear. And Father, thank you for the faith to believe. And Lord, thank you that when we call upon you by faith, that you're faithful to save. Lord, help us to walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.